Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Aleph. We're beginning on the very top line, Kuf Aleph, Omud Aleph, with the very first words where we quote the Mishnah. Hayushneim Kohan Vehulei. If you remember from the Mishnah, we talked about a situation where a woman did not wait the 3 months after her first husband had no longer lived with her, and she got married too early, and there was the question, was she the child that she gave birth to, was it a child from the first husband or from the second husband? In this situation, it's unclear which one is his father, and therefore the Mishnah had said that if he were to have Rachmon Litzlan hit one of them or cursed one of them, he wouldn't be Chayv Misa like he normally would be Rachmon Litzlan if the person were to hit or curse their father. Gemara starts off Tanur Rabbanan with the following braisa: He kazeh v'chazer v'he kazeh. He hit the first potential father. We'll call him husband number one. He hit that potential father, and then afterwards he hit the second father, husband number two. As Rashi points out, in this situation, one of them is definitely his real father, Shari Echad Behem Aviv, and the Rashi that we have over here, albeit the Masoras HaShah says to delete this, according to some, but we'll read it, Kesavar Hasra Sofek Shmo Hasra, Hol Mimanushach Over. So in this situation, what this Svara is saying is that he's given a warning, if you hit this person, you will be over a Issa Daraisa Chi of Misa. And therefore, this is what's called the Hasra Sofek, because maybe it's not. Husband number one may not be his father. Husband number two may not be his father. But this Tana holds that as long as he got the Hasra before hitting husband number one and before hitting husband number two, in this situation, he definitely hit his father. And even though the Hasra was a Hasra Sofek, this Tana holds that for Hasra Sofek is still Chayiv Misa. So, Tana Rabbanon, he goes there, because of he goes there. So in this situation, he will be Chayiv Misa according to the Tana Kama. Or he cursed the first one and then he cursed the second one. Or, now here we'll see everybody's in agreement with this, or almost everybody. Kilel Shneim Bavasachas, he cursed them both simultaneously. Or Hiko Shneim Bavasachas, he hit them both simultaneously. As Rashi says, he took a big stick and he hit them both at the same time. So here, the Hasras that he's given, if you hit this person, curse this person, you're going to be Chayv Misa, is a Vadai Hasra in this situation. So in this situation, everybody's going to agree, or almost everybody's going to agree that you're Chayv. And that's what the Braisa says. The Tana Kama holds in all of these cases, whether it was one after the other, in hitting or cursing, or both simultaneously, he hit or cursed them, Chayv. However, that's a Tana Kama. Yehuda disagrees. Yehuda Meir Bavas Achas Chayv. Yes, I agree with you. If you hit them both at the same time, you curse them both at the same time, then you would be Chayv. Because then you got a definite Hasra. If you do this action, you're going to hit your father, and you're going to be Chayv Misa. You're going to curse your father, you're going to be Chayv Misa. So he's definitely doing it for certain. So therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda says you're Chayv in that situation. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, Bezeach Hazeh Potter, because he holds Hasra Sofek, Eino Hasra. That is the brisa that we have. However, we have another brisa, V'atanya, review the Omer Potter B'Vasachas. In the second brisa, review that says, even in the case of B'Vasachas, he's going to be Potter. So the Gemara says, there's a steer between the two brises. We resolve that by saying it's two different Tanoim, Trei Tanoim, Aliv the Rabbi Yehuda. Two different Tanoim explaining Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, each of them had a different understanding of what Rabbi Yehuda said. Now, the Gemara says, we understand the opinion that we originally had thought in the first brisa, the Vasachas Yechai, because he definitely got a Hasra, and he definitely hit both of them. So we understand why the first brisa that we learned said, the Vasachas Chai, because of Yehuda. But the second brisa says, Yehuda is Potter, even the Vasachas, my time of the Manda Potter. What could possibly be the reason that you wouldn't be Chayiv? So Ruchanina tells us, Nemar Barocho Lemata. It says that when you're cursing a parent, Lemata here is referring to people on this world, as opposed to Lamala is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it says, in regards to Bracha, Bracha is a euphemism for cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So cursing a parent. So it says that you're not allowed to curse your parents. That's called Lamata. And it says, Nemar Barocho Lemala, you're not allowed to give a Bracha, mean curse to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just like Mala Malo, Shein Bashutvas, in regards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nobody else as a partner there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is single. He's Yochid, Eino Bavado. So just like in regards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu and somebody else, so too, Ach Lamata She'ein Bashutvas. It has to be the type of cursing that doesn't include somebody else. And that's why this Braisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to this Tanna, says this Braisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you're part of a Vasachas, he makes this comparison to just like you can't curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu and somebody else, so too you can't curse one father, and then it's also another person who may be your father. So in this situation, aflamata shem b'shutfas, and v'iskish hakah l'klola. And the same thing applies. We make a hekish between hakah and klola. The psukim are next to each other. So just like you can't curse the potential two fathers in this situation and be chayiv, so too you can't hit the potential two fathers in this situation and be chayiv. Again, only one of them is your real father, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv in this situation, according to this Tana, according to his opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Then we quote the Mishnah again. The Ola, the Mishmar of Chule, we said, in the situation where he doesn't know whether he is the son of father number one or father number two, husband number one, husband number two. So we said, in this situation, they're both Kohanim, so he goes into each Mishmar and is allowed to work in each of their Mishmaros. However, he's not entitled to a chelik of the Matnos Kohuna that they would get. He can't get hides, he doesn't get any of the meat from each of their Mishmaros. Shmuel says, if he's not going to get a portion of the hides or a portion of the meat, so then why should he go up there and do the avoda? Shmuel says, what do you mean? Lama ola? It's a mitzvah. Ha'amar bo'ino de nevad mitzvah. He says, I want to do the mitzvah. So that's why I'm going up. I don't care about the portion, so I won't get the hide. So I won't get to eat the carbon, the sections of the carbon that the coin's allowed to eat. But I want to do the mitzvah. I want to do the avoda. Someone says, you're right. Ella, what's the chiddush over in our Mishnah? Ola lo ketani. He didn't say, if he wants to, he can go up. Ella ola, which means bal karcho. Now, there are two ways to understand this. The simple way to understand this, it means that he is forced. As Rashi says, the afal gab de'eno cholik kofinon le labod. Here, Rashi says that we force this person to go and work in those mishmaros. He could work in this father's mishmar or that father's mishmar. Right now, we're assuming that they have two different mishmaros, and therefore he is forced to go and work there. Or alternatively, Tosu says, and this is really Rashi's opinion elsewhere, he says, why don't we say over here that it's Baal Korcham of the Bnei HaMishmar, that the Bnei Mishmar can't tell him, no, you can't work. We want to keep the mitzvah to ourselves. We don't want to give it to you. So they can't say that he is allowed to go against their will and work in the mishmar. In any event, those are the two possibilities that we're dealing with here. White uses the lashon of ola rather than ola. Mar now says, Amar Avacha Bar Chanina, Amar Abaye, Amar Vasi, Amar Yochanan, Mishum Pagam Mishpacha, says the reason why this Baal Korcha is done in this situation is because it would be a Pagam on his Mishpacha that people are going to say, hey, he's the son of either father number one or father number two, husband number one, husband number two, and he's not going up there, so there must be something wrong with that family's lineage. So it would be a Pagam, a blemish on the family's lineage, so therefore that's why we force him, so to say, according to the simple understanding that we force this son to go and do the avoda, it's because it looks bad for the family. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, "Vimo yushneim b'mishmar v'chule." If both of them were in the same mishmar, father number one and father number two, the two potential fathers were in the same mishmar, then he even gets a right to go and get a chelik of the hides of the karbanos meat that the kohanim were allowed to eat. Gemara questions and says, "Maishnor shnei mishmaros de lo." When we said there were two different mishmaros, he couldn't demand the chelek because the ozil lo mishmara umadchle. The ozil lo mishmara umadchle, because each mishmar can push him off and say, "You don't belong in our mishmar. You belong in their mishmar. In their mishmar." And therefore, we're not going to go and allow you to come and work in our mishmar. But the same thing would apply, even if it was Mishmar Echad, the Mishmars are divided up into six Batayavos. So Mishmar Echad, Nami, the same halach would apply. Azul hai Beisav Umatchule. This Beisav, when he goes to him, say, no, you're not in our Beisav, you're in the other guy's Beisav. And the Bach adds over here, Azul hai Beisav Umatchule. And the other Beisav, they're going to push him aside also. So why, if he's in two different Batayavs, do we not say the same thing as if he's in two different Mishmaros? So what gives the obvious answer? Amar Papa, Hachikam, Amar Papa says, Ima yushneya mishmar echad, not that they were in the same mishmar only, but also ubeis av echad, but both are in the same beis av, no to chelik echad. Then he is entitled to take a chelik, because nobody can push him away, so you don't belong in our day, you don't belong in our mishmar. Here he belongs in that very same day of that very same mishmar. So therefore, he's entitled to take a chelik along with all the other people. And this concludes this beautiful 11th perek. Hadron Alecha Nosin Alo Anusa. Hadron Alecha Nosin Alo Anusa. Hadron Alecha Nosin Alo Arusa. And now we begin the 12th perek. Here we're going to begin some of the halachos of the actual chalitza process itself. It's interesting. It took us until 12 brachim. We've been talking about chalitza for a minute one in this mesechta, but now we're finally going to understand what chalitza is. So the Mishnah tells us, Mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha dayanim, that the chalitza has to be done in front of three dayanim. Dayanim implies people that have smicha. But then it says, v'afilu shlosh dan hedyotus, they don't have to have full smicha, they can even be three common people. The Gemara will explain, as long as they're able to read the psukim and inform the person who's undergoing the chalitza what they have to each say, the woman and the man, so then that would be acceptable. They don't have to be a full-fledged beis din with three dayanim smuchim. So the world asks, so then why did he use the lashon dayanim over here if hetyotos are allowed? The Gemara will explain that. Then the Mishnah tells us, chalso b'minal, if you did the chalitza, the woman has to take off the shoe from the person's right foot, from the yavam's right foot. So if they're wearing a minol is a certain type of shoe, Rashi says, shel orach. It's made of soft leather. Who can shalano? This is like the shoes that they wore in Rashi's time. So this is not the ideal type of a shoe to go and do chalitza with, but the Mishnah tells us, b'dievet chalitzaso kishevo. It is acceptable, b'dievet, if the man is wearing a minol type of shoe, this soft leather type of shoe, and the chalitza is done with him wearing that shoe, she takes it off, so that b'dievet is acceptable. As opposed to b'an pilya, if he's wearing a sock, so then chalitzaso psula, even b'dievet. Then if she just takes off his sock, so then that's not called taking off his shoe, and therefore that chalitza will be no good even b'dievet. If the man is wearing the sandal sounds like sandal, but it's not. A sandal is the right type of a shoe to do chalitza with. That was the normal type of shoe that they wore. They covered up their foot. So the sandal, so sheyeshlo akev, if it has a full sole to it, in other words, it's a regular full shoe, so then kosher. So then this is an acceptable type of shoe to do chalitza on. V'she'enlo akev, but if it doesn't have the soul, so then puzzle, then it is no good. It's not even good b'di evid. Rashi points out in Dira Masku Psula that you need the midei de mogin ba'inan. You need something that protects the foot. And therefore, if you don't have this soul, that's what Rashi translates akev over here, or akev. So if you don't have this full soul, that's how Rashi translates the word akev, sulya, a soul. So if you don't have that, so then it's not going to be good even b'di evid. Then the Mishnah continues and tells us if the person, Rachmana Litzlan, is an amputee. So if the amputee is what we call a below-knee amputation, minarkuva lamata, so he still has his knee, but the foot that's caught off is below the knee. So if it's from the knee down, chalitza kishero, then the woman does the chalitza, so then this chalitza is an acceptable chalitza. Obviously, it doesn't have a foot, so they do it on the stump, or whatever's left, they remove the shoe from the stump, and that would be acceptable. However, min arkuva lamala, if it's above knee amputation, so then chalitza psula, then that person can't have chalitza. Remember, Shechta Shlita saying over in the name of the Rav Zatzal that this is the one indication where we still would allow yibum for Ashkenazim, when the person, the yavam, doesn't have a right foot from above the knee. Let's say he's a diabetic and he's unfortunately had an amputation, above knee amputation. So this would be the one situation where if there was unfortunately a situation where the brother died childless and the yavam, the only yavam available, is a person who has a right knee, above the knee amputation, so then that's where even today Ashkenazim would allow yibum to occur. Okay, the Mishnah continues and says, hold so the sandal shein shalo. If the man is wearing a sandal, again, we said that's the ideal type of a shoe to do chalitza with. So if he's wearing a sandal, but it's not his, this sandal, again, I'm using the term sandal, but it's not really our sandals. So if he's wearing this sandal and it's not his, so that's acceptable with the evid. Or b'sandal shalates, or if it's a wooden type of a sandal, not made out of leather, it's made out of wood, tomorrow we'll discuss this more, that's also acceptable with the evid. Or, oh, b'shel small b'yomin, if he's wearing the left shoe, but it's on the right foot. So then in all of these situations, b'di'evet chalitza kishera, it is an acceptable chalitza. The Mishnah continues and says, chalitza b'gadol sh'yochol alokbo, if the shoe is the wrong size, it's much bigger than his foot, but he could walk in it, it won't fall off. It's larger than his foot, but it could walk in it. Or, b'katan, if he's wearing a smaller than his normal size foot shoe, shuchov is rov lago, but it does cover up most of his foot, so then again, chalitza sa kishera. Then the chalitza in this situation is also acceptable. I'm not sure why sometimes the Mishnah uses the term chalitza kishera, and sometimes it says chalitza sa is kishera, but in any event, that is our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara begins and says, now that we said in the second line of the Mishnah that it's acceptable to use a hedyot, a person who's not a Rav, who doesn't have smicha, so then why are you telling me dayonim, which implies people that need to have smicha? So the Gemara says, the Chiddush is, how come Ashkelon is coming to teach us, deboinim mishlosha sheyodin lahakos, that these people have to be able to at least say the psukim that the yavim and the yavam have to go and say, and this way they're ke'ein dayarim, this way they're somewhat similar to judges, and that's why it used the lashon of dayarim. But they don't have to be full-fledged rabbanim that have smicha, that are worthy to be Dayan. Now, this is in accord to Nina Lohod Tanur Rabbanan. This understanding of our Mishnah is in accord with the following brisa, where it says, Beferish, mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha sheyogin lahakros ke'ein dayanim. That the mitzvah chalitza has to be done in front of three people that don't have to be dayanim, but in a little bit of a way, they're like dayanim, and that they can tell the yavim and the yavama, the psukim that they have to say. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'chamisha. And by the way, this brisa says that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the idea that it needs to be three. He says it needs to be five. And that's going to lead us into a whole aside now as to whether you need three or whether you need five dayanim, which our Mishnah seems to simply say that you need three. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah saying that you need three, which will be an important detail a little bit later in the Gemara. So now we start and say, my time at the Tanakhama. Why did the Tanakhama in this brisa, which is also the same opinion as in our Mishnah, say that you only need three dayanim? So the Tanya, the brisa tells us, Zekanim, the Pasuk teaches us, V'imlo yachpo tzoish l'kacha says yivimto v'olso yivimto ashayra el hazekanim. So it says over here, Zekanim, that implies two, plural, miyut rab mishtayim. The minimal amount of plural is two. So at least two judges are necessary because you have to come to the Zekanim. So that's shnayim. They based in Shaka, we never have an even number of Dayanim because we want a base to always be able to have a Psak Halacha, and you can only have a Psak Halacha that's guaranteed if you have an odd number of Dayanim. If you have an even number of Dayanim, it could be 2 against 2, 4 against 4, 10 against 10. So we always have an odd number, so this way we'll guarantee that there will be a Psak Halacha that will come out. So that's why the Tanakhama says Zekanim would tell us that you need two Dayanim, and then because we never have an even number, so we add on one to make it three. Mosif and Alei Mod Echad Harekan Shlosha. That's how you get three. What's with Yehuda's understanding? He said five. Yehuda says, no, we have another pasuk. In addition to the pasuk that says over here, El HaZikainim, so we have the next pasuk that says, the Karlo Zikne Iro. So it says that the Zikne Iro also are used, and Zikne is Shnayim, and you add that to the Zikainim for the previous pasuk was Shnayim, that's four. And the Ein Beis and Shalku, you don't have an even number of base of judges in the Beis Din, so therefore, Mosif and Alei Morecha, Harikam Chamisha, that's where Yehuda gets five. Zikne is two, Zikainim is two, and to have an even number is no good, so therefore you make it five. As opposed to the Tanakhama, that doesn't darshan Zikne, he only darshan Zekanim. And that's going to lead to the obvious question, what does he do with Zikne? The Tanakhama, Hai Zikne, my Ovidle, what does the Tanakhama darshan with the word Zikne? Each of them is going to have to explain why they don't hold like the other one. And we'll go through back and forth with this as each one brings in a new din. So the Tanakhama says, I need the word Zikne for the following reason. That's how we learn out that they don't have to be smuchen. They don't have to be Dayanim. They could just be people that are like Dayanim, as we pointed out, that they know how to go and read the psukim to the yavam and the yavama. And how do we know that? Because it calls zikne over here. This word zikne teaches us that they could even be hedyotos. No. Now we throw it back on Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, hedyos minole. Do you disagree with the din? You also say that hedyotos are good. So where do you learn it at? If you need zikne to teach us five, so then you don't have zikne free to teach us that they can be, in fact, shlosh hedyotos. So Rav Yehuda says, yes, because I learned that out from a different pasuk. Nafkale me le'enei. The pasuk tells us, v'niksho yivim to elov le'enei hazakenim. That's the next pasuk. So therefore, le'enei hazakenim teaches me that it can't be dayanim that are smuchim. Why? Because they're not capable of being blind. And it says over here, le'enei d'amar mar, le'enei comes to teach me, prat l'sumim, that the people who are witnessing the chalitza, they're the judges for the chalitza, they can't be blind. Since you need this word, according to this understanding, to exclude blind people, now if they were really judges, judges by definition can't be blind already. Shma mina, dafilu hedyotos. It must be talking about hedyotos, because disokodaitoch Sanhedrin be'enon. If you're telling me over here that you need Sanhedrin, you need smuchin, you need real dayanim, so then lomali mutesumim. Then I wouldn't need this possibly ene to teach us leene as kainim to teach us that they can't be blind, because by definition, be the Tanya Rav Yosef nafka, we would know already that sumim cannot be yuded. Used lomoli lemute sumim. I wouldn't need to exclude sumim from me the Tanya Rav Yosef Nafka. The Tanya Rav Yosef, what did Rav Yosef learn? Yishem shebeis de menu kibitz edek. Just like all members of the beis din have to be people of great virtue, they have to be menukim, clean in regards to tzedek. They have to be pristine people, individuals in regards to their midos. Kach beis din menukim mikol mum. They also can't be blemished. By definition, the beis din can't have certain mumim. And we turn to kuf aleph omid beis. Is this is darshan from a pasuk in Shir Hashirim Shenemar, Kuloch yofo rayosi umum ein bach. So this is a reference over here to the Beis Din, that they are all beautiful. In other words, umum ein bach. They can't have a mum. So the opinion here is that I don't need the word le'enei, Rav Yehuda would say, to go and teach me that they can't be blind, because by definition, if we were dealing with a Beis Din, they can't be blind. And therefore, I can use ziknei as the extra two to teach me that you need five, and I don't need it here for the understanding that they can't be blind. Oh, so the Gemara says, v'idach, what does he do? The Tanakama. Why doesn't he learn it out the same way? How le'enei my obed le? So what does he need the word le'enei for? He doesn't need it to teach me hediotos. He learned that out because it said ziknei. So the Gemara says, how l'chidrova hudiyasa. So the Tanakhama would need it for Rava's drasha. What is Rava's drasha? The Omer Rava. Tzrichei dayani le'mechsei roka. That the Dayanim have to actually see the roke come out of the mouth of the woman when she spits in front of him, as the pasuk says, "Dichsiv li'enei hatzadikim v'yorka." Right, the whole pasuk says, "V'nigsha yivim to'elov le'enei hazakenim v'cholzer na'lo mi'araglo v'yorka b'fonav v'yonso v'omra." So that has to be v'yorka. They have to see the spittle come out of her mouth. Oh. So does Rabbi Yehuda know that? We return the other way. Bidach nami miboy lecha de rabba. He also needs his din of rabba, so it's not free for him. So he says, you're right, in hachanami. So that's not how he learns it out, the din of hediotos. So where does Rabbi Yehuda learn out the din of hediotos from? If he doesn't learn it out from this drasha, he needs this drasha to teach us that you have to see the spittle come out from the mouth of the woman and she spits at her yavam. The ella hediotos minole. So where's Rabbi Yehuda learn out the din that they could be non-smuchin? So he says, nafka, it's from the word mi biyisrael. The pasuk tells us, lo yachvoz ish l'chachas yivimto, v'ol yivimto v'ashar l'zkenim, v'yom v'mein yivami l'hokim l'echol b'shem biyisrael. So that extra word, biyisrael, lo ova yivimmi, is yisrael koldu, that comes to teach us, it could be from any yisrael, and lav dafka, a person with smicha. So now we throw it back to the Tanakhama. V'idach, if you can use this pasuk, biyisrael, to teach us this din, so then, what are you, you're not using this din to teach us they can be non-smuchim. You learned that out beforehand. So how are you going to learn out this word Yisrael? How Yisrael might obed lay? So that the Tanakhama needs, you need that for the drasha of Yeshua by Yehuda. What was that? That he says, be Yisrael is bebeis din shal Yisrael, v'lo bebeis din shal gerim. That all of the judges here have to be born Jews. They can't be Goyim, they're converted to become Jews, they're Elucha, wonderful Jews now, but they can't serve on a Beis Din for Chalitza. And that's because it has to be Yisrael. It has to be Davka be that the Hakim Li'achiv Shem be Yisrael. So that's how we learn it out, the Beis Din Shal Yisrael, and not a Beis Din that includes any Gerim. No, this is a valid din. How does Rabbi Yehuda learn this din out? V'yidach, he says, B'Yisrael Achrinik Siv. We have another pasuk, V'nikroa Shemo B'Yisrael, Beis Chalutz Hanal. He uses that B'Yisrael to teach us it has to be a Beis Din composed of all born Jews and not from Gerim. Nope, now we throw it back to the Tanakhama. And what do you do with the second B'Yisrael? V'yidach, he says, I need the second pasuk, the Nikra Shmo be Yisrael, we boil the Tani need for the following Brisa. Amar Yehuda, Yehuda says in this Brisa, this is the Tana of Yehuda. Pamachas hayinu Yoshim with name Rabbi Tarfon. One time we were learning in front of Rabbi Tarfon. Ubo Yavama lachlots, and Yavama came to undergo a chalitza procedure with her Yavam. Yavam alone, when he said to us, when you're watching this procedure, Anu kulchem chalutz hanal. All of you should say, Chalutz Hanal, because the pasuk says, "Nikra Shemo B'Yisrael Beis Chalutz Hanal." So this B'Yisrael, according to the Tanakhama, is needed to teach us that everybody present has to say Chalutz Hanal. Nope, this is a very good point. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with this? How does he learn out that everybody has to say it? B'Yidach, he learns it out from the pasuk. It says, "V'Nikra Shemo B'Yisrael Mi V'Nikra Nafka." That means everybody there has to call it out. Obviously, the Tanakhama, here's where we stop the back and forth. The Tanakhama disagrees with that drasha and doesn't have to learn out anything from the Nikra. And therefore, this back and forth, what do you do with this drasha, ends over here. And Rabbi Yehuda ultimately uses the Ziknei here to teach us an extra two judges, and therefore five, and the Tanakhama doesn't, and the Tanakhama only has three judges. And that's this machlokis, whether it's three or five, between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. But now the Gemara questions both of them, both the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. They do darshan out 3 and 5 from the certain number of times that it mentions zikanim or ziknei. So the Gemara now says elamayata vikaru. The pasuk tells us vikaru lo ziknei iro vidibru elav. So you have the words vikaru and you have the words vidibru that should add on another 4 judges, 2 and 2, 2 for vikaru, vikaru shnayim, vidibru shnayim, the miut rabim shnayim. So why don't we say that the Tanakhama actually has 4 plus 3 and reviewed as 4 plus 5? So in fact, we should say over here, Hachanami, the Rabbi Yehuda Harikantisha. We're adding on an additional 4 over here. So it'll be 8 judges, and you won't have a non-even number of judges, so it has to be 9. And the Rabban Harikant Shiva, you'd add on another 4, add on the 4 to the 2 would be 6, and you won't have a non-even number, so it would make it 7. So if this drasha system that you set up is correct, so then it shouldn't be 3 versus 5, it should be 7 versus 9. Someone says, no, those 2 extra words, Vakaru and Vidibru, are needed for something else, both according to the Tanakhama and according to Rabbi Yehuda. How would boy lelecha de Tanya? You need these 2 drashos for the following. Vakaru lo teaches us, velo shlucham, that the basin has to call for them to come and not send a shaliach to go and bring the Yavam and the Yavama to the Beis Din. So that is learned out. But Karulo and can't be used to teach us 2 additional judges. Vidibru Elov, what does this Vidibru come to teach us? So it teaches us Malame Shemesin Lo Eitza How Genis Lo, that they tell the Yavam over here, you have a choice of doing Yibim Mechalitza. Use common sense. Do something that's appropriate. Eitza How Genis Lo. They give him good advice. And they tell him, if he's a 19-year-old boy and the girl's a 45-year-old lady, so they say, who's Akin Rialdo? Or if he's a 50-year-old guy and the woman is a 19-year-old lady, so then Omelo, they tell him, Malachaitzo Yalda, Malachaitzo Zakeda. They said, you know, this is a June-December wedding. It's not a good idea. It's not good if the two people, the bride and the groom over here, the Yavam and the Yavama, are far apart in age. Whether he's much older than her or she's much older than him, neither one is a good idea. So they give him good advice. They say, listen, if you're 25 and she's 24, so that's a good shidduch, so go and do Yibam. Then this is talking about the time of the Gemara when they did Yibam preferentially. But here they were giving him advice to say, yes, do Yibam, it's appropriate. Or if it's a June-December type of a wedding, he's much older than her, she's much older than him. So then they would give him good advice not to do it. Go and marry somebody that's closer to your own age. Because it's only going to cause trouble in your house. There's too many differences in age. People are different personalities, different ages, different life experiences, etc. It's only going to cause trouble. You're going to end up divorcing her. So therefore, don't have this June-December wedding. And that's what it means, Vidibru love, and therefore you don't use this Vidibru to come to teach us 2 extra judges, Bein the Tanakhama, Bein Rabbi Yehuda. How do we paskin? Amar Rav Amar Rav Nachman, halacha chalitza b'shlosha, ho v'sasam lontana kavosei. Since our Mishnah is a stab Mishnah, so our Mishnah must be telling us that the halacha is like the opinion of the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yehuda, that we require 3 judges. Again, they could be hejotos by chalitza and not 5. That's what Rava says in the Rav Nachman. Only Rav Nachman, but then Rava says, this is what you, Rav Nachman, said, but what about the following? Ihachi, if you're correct that we follow the Stam Mishnah here, so then Miyun Nami, we have a Stam Mishnah by Miyun, they should also tell us that we should have 3 judges by Miyun. However, that's not the truth, that's not the din. Now, we learned in a Mishnah, this Mishnah is in Sanhedrin, the very, very first daf in Sanhedrin. It says that it tells us in that first big Mishnah of Sanhedrin, tells us how many judges you need for all the different procedures. So Hamiyun v'hachalitza b'shlosha, it says a stab Mishnah there, that the Miyun again is when a woman leaves her Dirabbanan marriage before she becomes a Gedola and is married d'oraisa. She's only married Midirabbanan. The rabbis gave her mother or the older brothers, if the father's not around, so they gave the mother or the older brothers the right to marry her off, but she has the right to leave that marriage without a get, as long as she leaves when she's a katana. So hamiyun, this process of miyun, we do this in front of a beis din, so she has proof, because otherwise she doesn't have any shtar. So we have proof over here that she has miyun by doing this in front of a beis din, and chalitza. So miyun and chalitza, the stam mishnah and Sanhedrin tells us al bishlosha. And therefore, V'chitema hochanami. So you're going to tell me that mian requires three. Stam mishnah. Let's follow the stam mishnah. Mian requires three. But that, in fact, is not the halacha. Because we have a braisa that says otherwise. V'tanya, the braisa says mian. So beishamay and besila both say it requires three. Beishamay yomim beis the mumchen. Beishamay says you have to have three real dayanim who are smuchen. They're mumchen. Whereas besila says they could just be three regular judges. Beishamay yomim the beis din shall smuchen. V'shalom beis din. Or it can be even three hedyotos. It doesn't have to be full formal based in. However, both then Basil Bisham say you need three. Just a question of the status of those three. But then we bring along two others. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, who's the son of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, who's the son of Rabbi Yossi, Machshir Mishnayim. They say that Miyun could even be done with two. As Tosus points out a little bit later in Amasechta, the reason for this is so you have two witnesses that Miyun occurred. Because again, there's no shtar by Miyun necessarily. There's just, she walks away. She says, I don't want to stay married to him. And she just walks away. So these two Tanoim, Rabbi Yossi and Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar and Yossi, disagree with Beisil Beishamai. Beisil Beishamai both say three, just a question of what's the status of those three. Beishamai says they have to be mumchin, smuchin. And Beisil says, no, lav davka, he can be hedyotos. And then, they argue three versus two. Rabbi Yossi, Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi say only need two. How do we paskin? The Brisa says, "Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yuni, Rabbi Achman, Halacha ki osu zug." Those two are the way we paskin. You only need two, but it's a stam mishnah. So why don't we say you need three? So the word says, "Hasum chatz tamadi." You only have one stam mishnah. The first mishnah in Sanhedrin. V'ha'cha trei stam. Here we have not only that mishnah in Sanhedrin, but we have our mishnah. So it's two stam mishnahs, and that's why we paskin by Miyun, there's only one Stam Mishnah, so we don't paskin like that Stam Mishnah, but here we have two Stam Mishnahs of Achalit, so we say you need three. Someone says, but there's two by Miyun as well. Kososim Nami Trei Stamei Ninhu. And we actually learned that earlier in our Masechta. On Dav Chav Hei, it taught over there, Dithnan, Miyana O Shecholtzu Befanav. If the wife did Miyun, or Chalitza Yisoena, the judge, we said, is allowed to go and marry her. And they have to remember the context that we had that over there. We said that if a person comes and he says, your husband died, so he's not allowed to marry you. He's a nogeba dover. So if the rabbi says, listen, I know your husband died, and then he says, I'd like to marry you, so we don't believe the rabbi. But if the rabbi is a part of the Beis Din, and he says that, yes, this miyun took place in front of our Beis Din, the chalitza took place in front of our Beis Din, he is believed, Yisrael, he's then allowed to still go and marry her. Why? Because he's part of the Beis Din. And the other two rabbis that are on that Beis Din certainly wouldn't lie. We have a general principle of the honesty of the judges, but certainly, why would they lie when they're not gaining any benefit from it? So we have a rule, Eino adam chote velo lo. Normally a person might consider lying if he's going to get some benefit from it. So we don't allow the one witness to say, yes, the husband died, and now I want to marry you, because we're concerned that maybe he's making it up because he wants to marry her. But when there's three people as part of the Beis Din, so then there absolutely is no concern because the other two people certainly wouldn't lie. So we have a Stam Mishnah, another Stam Mishnah that says, me and Osha Chotz are befond of Yisrael of Neshu Beis Din. So you need three. So there's two Stam Mishnahs here as well. So why don't we say the Din by Miyun is three? In fact, we said the Din by Miyun is you only need two. Elo, the Gemara says, Hasam Trei Stam. You're right. By Miyun, we have only two Stam Mishnahs. But Hacha, in regards to Chalitza, Hacha Tlosso Stame. We have the two that we mentioned in Amasechta plus Sanhedrin. Now, the Gemara says, that's crazy. Milte, let's check this out. Whether you have two or three Stam Mishnahs, that's how we paskin. Two, no, three, yes. Hastama, Vostama. The bottom line is, we have a Stam Mishnah. And if you say we paskin like a Stam Mishnah, so then, Mali Chat Stam, Mali Trei Stam, Mali Tlosso Stam. What difference does it make how many Stams you have? If you have a Stam Mishnah, if you're telling me that we should passing like the Stam Mishnah, so then by Chalitza, we should passing like the Stam Mishnah and require three judges, but then by Miyun, we should passing like the Stam Mishnah and also have three judges. So the Gemara says, obviously, this can't be the reason, therefore, because then why would there be a difference between Miyun and Chalitza? So what's the real reason why Chalitza, we passing that you only need three judges and not five like Rabbi Yehuda? El Omer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Holu Stam B'Mokum Machlokes. Because here, we have a Stam Mishnah after there was a Machlokes. And from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda didn't argue, clearly Rabbi Yehuda was chozer on his opinion. Where is that? It's not. We learned in the Mishnah, we mentioned from Sanhedrin the following. Smicha Zekenim V'Egla Rufo B'Shlosha. The Smicha, and this is not talking about Smicha of Rabbanim like we've been mentioning until now. Here it's talking about the leaning. Here Smicha means literally the leaning when the Beis Din made a mistake and Chai Yisrael erroneously followed that. So then there's a carbon called the Parhelim Davishal Tziva that has to be brought. And the Zakenim, the Sanhedrin, who erred in their Psakdim, have to do smicha on this animal. So the Parhelim Davishal Tziva, the Zakenim have to go and push on it, do smicha on it. And Egla Rufa, when there was a person who was found murdered in between two cities, they calculate which is the closest city, and they do the Egla Rufa process. So both of these require Shlosha. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, this is the opinion of Yossi. And Rabbi Yehuda argues with this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'chamisha. Rabbi Yehuda says you need five judges for Smicha Zekenim and Egla Rufa. Now this is the same Mishnah which we then said, HaChalitza V'Amiyim B'Shlosha V'lo Kapalag Rabbi Yehuda. And then it says afterwards, Chalitza V'Amiyim only require three, and it doesn't say, and Rabbi Yehuda says five. So for the fact that it doesn't say Rabbi Yehuda says five, Shema Mina Hadubei Rabbi Yehuda, Shema Mina. It must be that Rabbi Yehuda was chosen from his opinion of five judges. He said it over here in the Braisa that we brought down, but he ultimately retracted that position, and therefore that's why we paskin that the din is that you need three judges by Chalitza. By Miyun, we didn't have anything previously that Rabbi Yehuda argued on Miyun, and therefore this isn't a retraction, but it doesn't mention over here that there's somebody that argues with his opinion of three. In other words, the two Tanoim that we brought down, we say only require two. So they're not mentioned in this Mishnah. So the fact that they don't argue doesn't prove that this is a retraction on their part. But Rabbi Yehuda argues with the first part. He says Chamisha in regards to Smicha Zaken and Egla Rufa. But then he doesn't say you need Chamisha in regards to Chalitza Miyan. So clearly he retracted his opinion about Chalitza Shmamina. That's a good raya. Nadigmar continues and says, Amar Rava, Tzricha Dayane Lemikba Duchta. Another din in Chalitza, Rava tells us, is that the judges, they're going to be doing the Chalitza, have to designate a certain place, Lemikva Duchta. As Rashi tells us over here, L'shem Kach, they're going to this place to do a Chalitza. They have to set it up. Because the pasuk says, "Va'osi v'imto ashayra el zakenim," and Rashi says, "Ashayra is mako mezuman lekach." Mashma, it's a specifically set a place. You go to the shahr of the city, and that's where you do it. So therefore, this teaches us that they have to designate the place of the chalitza. Gemara tells us another din. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, Abdi of the Bechamisha. They in fact did a chalitza with five. I where it says, "Come on, like who is that?" Rabbi Yehuda. We just said, "Hadabei." Rabbi Yehuda retracted his position. So how did they do five? So it says they didn't do five because that's the din. Ella lef parsume milsa. They did it to publicize the matter. Again, a chalitza doesn't have any contract to it. It doesn't have a shtar to it. It doesn't have a document to it. And therefore, when they do five people, it's going to be more of a publicization. The chalutzahi v'lo linsava l'kohen, and they want to make sure that by having more people there and present, it's going to make a bigger deal about it, and everybody's going to know about it, and the kohanim are going to know that she's a chalutza and they can't marry her. Alternatively, Rashi says, inami, the leisu inshe, the likvutzu ala, oh, everybody should now know that she's now muteris l'shuk. She's no longer a woman who's waiting to be taken in Yibam, but now she's muteris to marry, and therefore, this will publicize that matter and make a shidduch for her more easily. Fine. The work continues and says, Rav Ashi ikla lebei Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi once came to the Beis Medrash of Rav Kahana, and Omalei Rav Kahana said to him, "Solik marle gabon lemaluye bechamisha." So Rav Kahana told him, "Listen, we need five people for a chalitza. Come and join us to go and complete this amount to lemaluye to complete the five. We have our three dayanim, but you come and be the two extra people. You'll be one of the two extra people that we need lefarsim hamilsa to publicize this war." So Rav Kahana tells him, Rav Kahana, Hava Kuyimna Kamed Rav Yehuda. I was once in front of Rav Yehuda, and he said likewise to me, Bar Mali, Ta Sak Lezirza Dekani. Go to this certain place. Come to this certain place. Ta means go, Sak up to this certain place, Lezirza Dekani. Rashi says, this is Chavila Shokani, a bundle of reeds, and go over there, V'hochu Lei Shisham L'shem Chalitzazu, to go there for this Chalitza. Again, it had to be in a designated place. And you see, it's Trufe Bechamisha, in order to complete this idea of five people. So Amru Lo, they said to him, Lo Amru Li Chamisha, why do you want five? And Amru Lo, he said the same reason, he came to the five same also to make this more publicized. Another Maisa, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Havakoi Kamed Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda once went in front of Rav Yehuda the Amora, and Amalei, Rav Yehuda said to him, we're about to do a Chalitza, come and join us. Sak Ta Leziris of the Kani, come, go to this place of the bundle of reeds where we're going to go to make a chalitza, let's trufe bechamisha, to join us, to be one of the five people that are there, the farsumi milsa, to go and publicize this matter. However, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda says to Rav Yehuda, Amalei Tanina, we just learned, we had this drush a few moments ago, B'Yisrael, when we had the pasuk B'Yisrael that was coming to teach us, B'Beis Din Yisrael, had to be in a Beis Din that was comprised of all born Jews, from Jews that were born Jews, V'lo B'Beis Din Shel Gerim, and not a Beis Din where there were converts on the Beis Din. Converts can judge financial matters, but they can't judge capital matters, and they can't be on a judge of Beis Din for Chalitza. And that's based upon the drasha, Be Yisrael. And Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, Va'ano ger ano, I'm a ger. And Rashi points out, his father was also a ger. And Mistama, he still goes by the name of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda. His father was a ger who changed his name, Mistama, from Chris to Yehuda, and he's known as Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. In any event, he says, I'm possible to be one of the five people even for the Beis Din and additional Pirsum or Chalitza. Now, Rav Yehuda was very impressed with the honesty of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda to say this. So Rav Yehuda said, somebody who is like going Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Mafkina Mamona Apume. I would go and take money based upon his single witness testimony. Normally need two Edom to go and extract money. Reuven supposedly owes Shimon money. And two witnesses come and say, yes, Reuven owes Shimon money. So then the Beis Din will listen and extract the money from Reuven to give it to Shimon. But Rav Yehuda said, somebody who's so trustworthy like this, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, so even one person such as him would allow me to go and extract money from one person to another. Gemara questions and says, really? Mafikna salka daita? Would you do that? The Torah tells us, that two witnesses is the only way you can extract money. Not one witness, no matter how honest and integrity they have, you can't do it based on one witness. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's not what Rav Yehuda meant. Rav Yehuda meant, Ella morana shtar apume. If a person brought a shtar and says, look at the shtar, Reuven owes me money, here's the shtar that proves it. And then a person like the statue of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda comes along and says, that shtar has been already paid. Something's funny going on over here, so I would listen to that. He says, morana shtar apume, I would not allow a shtar to be brought into the Beis Din based upon this one person who's so honest, like Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, who says that there's something wrong with this shtar. That's what he meant. He wouldn't extract money, but he wouldn't, based upon one witness, but he would allow this one witness to prevent a shtar from being brought to extract money. Gemara continues, says, Amar Rav, and we turn to Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, Ger Don Es Chaver Udvar Torah, a ger is allowed to sit on a Beis Din to judge his friend in a Dvar Torah. And Rashi says over here, even dinei nefashos, if he's judging a ger. But to judge a yid, he can only judge financial matters. And this is based upon the pasuk shenemar, Som tosim olecha melech, ha-shiyivchar shem lokecha bo, mikerev achecha tosim olecha melech. It has to be mikerev achecha. So it says, olecha huduaino mikerev achecha. When you're judging over here, your friend, so somebody who is a person, mikerev achecha, who's born as a Jew, then it must be a person judging him who's a born Jew. Aval ger, if you're a convert, so then you're not allowed to judge a born Jew for a capital matter. However, don es chaveru ger, but you could judge a ger, as Rashi points out, even in a capital matter and certainly a financial matter. However, if this person had a Jewish mother, so then don afil Yisrael, then he's considered a full-fledged born Jew, and he can even judge a Yisrael. However, in regards to Chalitza, Lina Chalitza, actually, Aviv Imam Yisrael, based upon the Pasuk, Shinema, Vinikro Shol, B'Yisrael, has to be B'Yisrael, and that means both his mother and his father had to be Jewish, and a person sitting on the Chalitza, whether he's the base three, or he's one of the two people that are added, Lefar Seim Hadavar, so that has to be a person who's born Jewish, from both a Jewish mother and a Jewish father. This is a great place to stop today's shir, and with this we conclude today's shir.